Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, back with you here on the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out on this SmackDown Friday. 404-741-0929. That, of course, is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line to be a part of the show. Feel free to leave us a comment there. As always, we ask you to download the Radio.com app. Why? Well, we know you're not in the car and listening to the radio station that way as often as you have in the past, so change up your habits. Listen to us on the Radio.com app. Have that downloaded. Take your device. You got your smartphone. You got your Alexa speakers. You got your tablet. You got your Commodore 64, right? You got your Sega Genesis, your Intellivision, your Swatch Watch, your Texas Instruments Calculator, whatever you got for a device. Just download it onto something. That way you can always catch us on the go. Social media at 929TheGame, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, all the platforms available to you. As always, the best way to be a part of our show, follow through our personal Twitter page. Reach myself, that is at JMCH316, at JMCH316. Of course, your water cooler talking points 3 to 6 months in advance of anybody else that is out there. We're going to talk to Amy Dash a little bit later on in the show tonight. We had a chance to talk to her a few weeks ago when this DeAndre Baker story broke, and even more craziness still attached to it. You know, you don't know who to believe, but boy, some of the, you know, if the allegations are true about hush money payments and things like that, whew, you know, and it sounded more and more like the Giants may be moving away from DeAndre Baker too, that may be coming to an end. But as we get this hour started, of course, watching a little SmackDown here. It is a Friday night. Oh, we will do Rank'em, by the way, too, at 10:40. Even though young Dylan is in for Jarvis this evening, we will still do some Rank'em. So we'll get you on the text line and on my Twitter page. You can hit us up with lists that are there. So as we talk a little bit about Braves baseball, what are we, a week away now from the start of the regular season? Hard to believe we're moving so close to this. So good news, you know, as Freddie Freeman and Touki Toussaint kind of getting back at it for the Atlanta Braves. You know, still questions about where we're at with Freddie Freeman with only a week to go in all of this. Look, certainly Freddie Freeman is a guy who wants to find his way back as quickly as possible. He's a competitor. He knows, look, that we got 60 games to get it done, and the Braves can be as good as anyone at trying to win this thing and find their way into the World Series. I mean, the Braves can do it as much as any other team, you know, that's considered at the top of the heap for all of this. And, you know, the schedule is what it is, 20 straight games to start the year off. They'll have some breaks in August, and then September is a very favorable schedule for them. So things set up very well for the Atlanta Braves. But I would tell you that I would be on the side of erring cautiously with Freddie Freeman. Yeah, I understand he says he's feeling better and things like that. Remember when he said how good he felt, you know, with the elbow and all that kind of stuff in spring training, and then the elbow flared right back up, and he had to sit out for just a little bit, right? Freddie Freeman's a competitor. You know, sometimes you have to protect guys from themselves. I'm not telling you because, you know, he's over Corona that he's in jeopardy or this, that, and the other. But why rush it? You know, even if you have to take a week or 10 days of the season. Now, I understand you don't have a whole lot of time. I get it. I understand that there's not a lot of time for this season. But at the same time, you don't risk your best player. You don't risk the heart and soul of your team. You know, Ronald is the best all-around player on this roster, but Freddie's the most important. And his team is not going anywhere with a sick or injured Freddie Freeman, who's trying to get right back at it after, you know, being down with basically, you know, a flu, you know, with certain other symptoms and things. But I don't rush Freddie Freeman. Now, to me, that there's no reason to have to try to rush him. They have some answers at first base. They can get by for a little bit. Now, listen, that means you got to put some pressure on the rest of your lineup to get some things done, because now the other part of this is the fact that with Yasiel Puig testing positive for COVID-19, his contract is not going to, you know, his contract is null and void with the Braves. So as of right now, he's not an Atlanta Brave or going to be immediately. Now, it doesn't mean that the Braves can't go back and re-sign him. He's got to have a couple of negative tests for all of it. He's got to show that he's, you know, not testing positive any longer. It's one of those things that it doesn't mean that it's done and over. I was reading a little bit of Ken Rosenthal, you know, on this. But obviously for the very short future, there is no Yasiel Puig. So now you open back up to questions about, okay, outfield depth and things like that, what's going to happen with all of it. And it'd been really nice to have a Yasiel Puig to get your season started off with. But, you know, even Yasiel Puig is a guy who, you know, we don't know what kind of baseball shape he's in because he's been a free agent the whole time up to this point. It's not like he was latched on with a team and he was working out with that team and getting ready. No, he's been a free agent, so it's been, you know, on his own. But it definitely is a setback. Now, add to the fact that Christian Pache has had some, you know, what, hand injury and stuff that he's kind of day-to-day. Now this probably necessitates the idea of trying to let your young guys, which was kind of my theory to start with this whole thing about the signing Yasiel Puig. I wasn't against the idea of Yasiel Puig being here. I just thought if you gave me the option of, do I sign Yasiel Puig or do I go more with sort of my youth movement and you know, see what I can catch with Puig and Drew Waters, I would have gone with the young guys. I'd like to see Waters and Pache and just kind of throw them out there. Look, 60 games is sort of a throwaway from the start of, you know, I don't know how you completely analyze anybody given the circumstances in the time that we're in with all of it. So why not take your young guys and let's see if they can pull something off. Let's see if you can get them hot for a couple of weeks. You know, what if Pache or Waters can have that kind of 15-game start that Austin Riley did? Well, 15 games in the scheme of, you know, 162, that's not even 10%. What's that, probably 8 or 9% of the games? Well, 15 games in a 60-game season is a quarter, right? That's a fourth of the season. That's a big difference, 25% versus 8 or 9. So if you get one of those guys to be red hot like Austin Riley was, why not? Why not roll the dice with those guys? I'd like to see it that way. So, you know, who knows? Maybe this will be better in the long term. And like I said, I don't think it necessarily 1,000% closes the door forever on Yasiel Puig, but it certainly doesn't help. You know, it certainly doesn't help that he's not going to be here in the immediate future for all of it. So that's a definite setback. Tuki Toussaint back as well. You know, the talk was going into the season that Tuki was going to start in the minor leagues, and obviously we're not going to have a minor league system. But as we know that Felix Hernandez is not going to play, we'll talk about this other guy that's not going to start the season either for right now. What kind of role does Tuki Toussaint have? You know, is he going to get a shot to be a starter, or do you think that they look at him as a bullpen guy? I think personally they probably look at him as a bullpen guy. Now, the talk is, you know, they may have guys that are kind of that, you know, what did Tampa Bay call him, you know, a starter, or, you know, not necessarily a starting pitcher, but just a guy who started games, right? Braves have maybe said they may try to do something like that. To me, Tuki Toussaint is one of those guys that I use in that long relief appearance that, okay, the first couple of starts for Mike Soroka probably are only 3, 4, 5 innings. And he's going to work himself back in before he really gets into, you know, pitching it at any length or anything like that. So my next guy or my first guy out of the pen to try to eat up some middle innings becomes a Tuki Toussaint. Now, Sean Newcomb could fill that role too if you want the righty-lefty thing, okay? Where I want to see Tuki Toussaint thrive is he has that swing-and-miss stuff, right? He's a guy who has swing-and-miss ability. Take advantage of that early on. You know, when guys are kind of getting adjusted, you know, they're kind of playing on their heels a little bit, everybody's kind of amped up, geeked up, fired up, ready to go, take advantage of the idea of a guy who's got swing-and-miss stuff. When you probably have some guys that, frankly, are probably a little eager to get back and maybe haven't quite caught up to the speed of the game, take advantage of it with a swing-and-miss kind of guy. I think some of those pitchers are going to have a real advantage early on, guys who can strike out lots of guys, non-finesse guys. You know, the non-Dallas Keuchels and the more, you know, Justin Verlanders of the world. I think those are the guys you're going to see early on have lots of success. So I think Tuki, you know, he could fill a role as that first guy out of the pen when you have shortened starts at the beginning of the year, and let's see what he can do. Now, the other note, reports today that a certain $18 million free agent pitcher that this team brought on board probably won't be ready to start the year. Really? Huh. Shocking news. Wow. So you mean so far this Cole Hamels thing really hasn't worked out? Let me go in my Rolodex here and see if I can. What was that thing that they used to have with the pen and the tablet and things like that had your notes in it? Let's see if I can go back in time and see if there was anybody that told you all of this and didn't buy into it when everybody was trying to sell me on. Well, let's give Cole Hamels a chance. Let's give him a chance. For what? For what? What am I giving Cole Hamels a chance for? Now, this is the best part. This has become my favorite part of this whole thing. Now I'm reading for all of the MLB-er insiders and Braves beaters and reporters and all this. Well, you know, he's been spending a lot of time with Max Fried and he's helping him out. Oh, okay. So they're going to pay him $6.7 million this year to be a coach is what you're telling me. Oh, okay. Well, gosh, I'm sure that was the plan all along was, you know, well, it may not pay off now, but the long term of Max Fried, you know, will benefit from having a Cole. Really? Okay. All right. That's the spin now, huh? $6.7 million. Why didn't you just hire him as a coach then? Why not just hire him as a consultant coach? You probably could have got him as a consultant for, I don't know, half that money. Did you really need to pay $6.7 million to have a mentor? Or am I missing something? Are we back to playing this game of who's the a-hole and Chukri's got the lead again? This whole Cole Hamels thing, I said from the start, I thought was a disaster. The fact that we're this far in and I'm still hearing that he's probably not going to be on the opening roster. Are you kidding me? Well, but, you know, he's teaching Max Fried. Okay. That wasn't what he was brought here for. Well, but that's something that'll pay off in the long term. Will it? Oh. Okay. You're guaranteeing me that, huh? So I put a gun to your head and say, okay, it works out for Max Fried because Cole Hamels, you're willing to take that bet, huh? You're willing to put your mortgage on the idea of that Cole Hamels is going to be the difference in Max Fried's career. He damn sure better be for $6.7 million this year. It damn sure better be the difference in his career if he ain't going to pitch. Now, I guess to be fair with this club is that as long as Cole Hamels is ready for game one of the playoffs, then that's all he needs to be ready for. Because we know history says don't pitch your best guy, per se, when he's young and you have an old veteran. Don't do that. Pitch the wily old veteran in his spot instead of the, I don't know, young 20-something game-winning, you know, guy that's getting things done and all this kind of stuff. So, okay. Well, let me know when this Cole Hamels thing works out for you, okay? Let me know, because I, you know, let me know when he becomes an asset to what this club is trying to do this year. So, good call, guys. Good call on all that. All right, when we get back, Gary Stokin, who runs, who's, you know, obviously one of the big macas here in Atlanta, the Atlanta Sports Council, and, you know, handles the Chick-fil-A. I think he's like the president of the Chick-fil-A Bowl games now and everything. We'll let you hear what he had to say about this upcoming season as he joined our midday show of Andy and Randy earlier today. That's coming up next. It is the John Chuckery Show, hanging out with you on this SmackDown Friday, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, and on your radio.com app. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show. With you here on this Friday evening, a SmackDown Friday, 404-741-0929. That is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Don't forget to download the radio.com app. And, of course, follow us on social media. It's at JMCH316. Station's at 929 The Game. You know, we are getting good news within sports as far as testing and things like that. You know, the bubble is working in MLS. No positive tests there amongst the teams that were there. You know, Oklahoma reported, you know, no tests. I think they had like 140 tests, 150 tests that they put out there. No positive tests. You know, Ohio State opened back up for voluntary workouts and stuff after shutting down because they had some things going on. They've opened back up. You know, Penn State had some early positive tests early on in this thing, and then they've dropped drastically, you know, as well. So, you know, I know people don't like to hear this, you know. And yes, I'm for wearing a mask and doing what we got to do to get all this. But at the same time, I keep telling you that the number of people that were going to get this, we're going to always get it. You can either get these people going and tested and get them back within human contact, or you just got to shut the whole damn thing down for the rest of the year. Because the only way you're going to guarantee nobody gets caught with this thing is no human contact or have a foolproof vaccine. Short of that, people are going to test positive, and maybe lots of people, okay? Now the talk is the next wave is it won't be as lethal, but it'll spread faster. Okay. I mean, when you look at mortality rates of people, you know, 25 and younger, I mean, you know, it's you're more likely to get struck by lightning, I think, like twice than you are to die from COVID-19. Doesn't mean you want to get it, but at the same time, you know, unless you're willing to tell me that you're going to avoid all human contact until a vaccine, people are going to get it. But they do the right things, quarantine them and social distance them and put their masks on and things like that. And by the way, I have not seen how college football is going to adapt to the masks and stuff like that. And we've seen the ones from the NFL with Oakley, but is college football going to do the same thing? So it's a lot to try to figure out with all of this. Now, earlier today on our midday show of Andy and Randy, Chris Goforth has been in for Andy all week long. So you got Chris Goforth and Randy Mack, two-thirds of college football game time. The other third is, who's the other guy that's on that show? It'll come to me a little bit. It may be Cole Hamels or something. I can't remember. But they had on Gary Stokin earlier today to talk some college football. And, of course, he runs the Chick-fil-A Bowls, does a great job. You know, he's been president of the Atlanta Sports Council for a number of years. Well-known, lots of great stuff that he's done to help Atlanta sports grow in this town. So those guys started off by asking, Chris asked Gary about what he thinks more likely to happen as they're expecting three games. Three games to originally schedule as happened or three games that maybe go at different times?
It's time for us to head out on the wait4.com hotline and say hello to a guy we pretty much visit with just about just about every year right around this week when it's SEC Media Days, and that's Gary Stokin. Gary is the executive director of the Chick-fil-A Bowl, kind enough to give us some time and hopefully give us a little update on what things what's transpiring in his world of college football. Gary, you guys had three games set up for this year. You had games on the 5th and 6th of September, and then a week later, on September the 12th, you had another game that was set. What is more likely to happen? Three games or the three games that you guys had originally scheduled?
Well, first off, hi, guys. I hope you're safe and healthy and everybody's wearing their masks.
Thanks, Gary.
I appreciate you guys taking the time to have me. We're scheduled September 5th with West Virginia, Florida State. September 7th, Monday, Labor Day night, with ESPN primetime game at 8 o'clock with Georgia and Virginia. And then September 12th, North Carolina, Auburn. The plans are right now to play those three games. Obviously, we're waiting for the Big 12, ACC, and SEC to declare what their schedule is going to be. They think they'll do that in late July. And whether that's a conference-only schedule like the Pac-12 and Big Ten, if that's the case, then we wouldn't have any of the three Chick-fil-A kickoff games. If they decide conference schedule plus one Power Five game, then we would lose Georgia to play Georgia Tech, and we would lose Florida State to play Florida in the rivalry games. And in that case, we would go to two Chick-fil-A kickoff games with West Virginia playing Virginia and North Carolina playing Auburn. If they go conference plus two Power Five games, then we can stay as is with the three Chick-fil-A kickoff games. So, you know, we're doing a lot of modeling, a lot of contingencies. The contingencies have contingencies these days. So my staff, when I put together these three games, thought I was nuts having three games in a week, which has never been done in college football, 151 years history. But then to have COVID-19 on top of it, it's been quite a challenge. But obviously, perspective-wise, we're not lose. There's people losing their jobs, losing their businesses, and losing lives. So to keep things in perspective, we'll take the challenge on of trying to put these three games together.
Yes, I hear you, Gary. And again, always thank you for always coming on our show, giving us your time and everything. Gary, what was your initial reaction when you saw what the Big Ten did as far as how this might affect you outside of the fact that the SEC? Because right now, does it seem like everybody's waiting on the SEC to see what they're going to do?
Yeah, Randy and Chris, I wish I was with you guys at the College Football Hall of Fame where the SEC media days were supposed to be. But yeah, I was a little surprised that the Big Ten got out early and announced conference only, and then the Pac-12 the next day followed them. The five Power Five commissioners have been talking every day, and they, the Big 12, ACC, and SEC had no idea what the Big Ten was going to do that day. So it was a little surprising, I think, to everybody. But in our case, we don't have any Big Ten or Pac-12 teams in our Chick-fil-A kickoff game, so we're still waiting for the Big 12 on West Virginia, and then the ACC and SEC with Carolina and Virginia and Georgia and Florida State, so and Auburn. The challenge to this is, what do the conferences want to do testing-wise? Do they want to control within their own conference? Can the SEC and the Big 12 and the ACC come up with similar testing models? Because there's some huge games on the schedule with Tennessee against Oklahoma in the Big 12 SEC, Texas versus LSU. Obviously, North Carolina, Auburn are two top 20 teams. So I think the conferences would like to play a full 12-game schedule, but if they're not comfortable with some of the testing models, they may not play group of five or FCS teams and just stay with Power Five conference games or plus one games.
Gary Stokin, he's the executive director of the Chick-fil-A Bowl with us here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Gary, if of those three conferences that you are currently waiting to hear official word from. If one of them, and only one, decided they were just going to play conference-only games, has there been any talk with you and your team about maybe reaching out to, let's say, if the Big 12 decides to go conference-only, would you guys reach out to another SEC team or another ACC team about possibly coming into play?
Yeah, most definitely. If Big 12 goes just conference, then we lose West Virginia, then we would go out and try and find somebody to play Florida State. Okay. If the ACC went conference plus two. Obviously, there's four ADs in the ACC and SEC that would really like to go conference plus one game because they have rivalry games. And that's Clemson, South Carolina, Louisville, Kentucky, Georgia, Georgia Tech, and Florida, Florida State. But again, you've got some other big games like the Tennessee, Oklahoma, and LSU, Texas games. I'm sure those ADs would like to play those games as well. So that's why we put forth to all three commissioners a model of at least conference plus one. And, you know, we prefer conference plus two, but as a backup, conference plus one would work for us because if Big 12 just goes with conference only, then we'll try and go get somebody for Florida State to play.
Garrett, I mean, this is the first time I've heard the conference plus one thing. And that's why now that you're saying this, that gives me even more cause of why would the Big Ten jump the gun on this whole situation. How about the fans, Gary, that have probably pre-ordered their tickets and all these things? What would be the process just in case some of this doesn't go through?
Yeah, the unfortunate thing for the city of Atlanta and the tourism industry and the hospitality industry is that if we would have not had COVID-19, we would have sold all three of these games out.
Right.
Had $100 million economic impact, and that translates to probably about $7.5 million trickling back into the economy in Atlanta. Without being able to have full capacity, we're hoping that we can get the minimum. First off, we hope we can play.
Right.
Secondly, we're hoping that we can get 25% capacity because then we can put the games on and bring some entertainment to people for college football on TV and in person, but also have a little bit of economic impact to the city of Atlanta.
Gary Stokin, executive director of the Chick-fil-A Bowl. Gary, you guys put on such a great bowl game at the end of the year and always great matchups to kick off the college football season. And you guys always have some other stuff that is going on around this. Are you guys able to have any festivities leading up to the game? What do you think halftime is going to look like?
Yeah, it's a great question, Chris. We've modeled masks for everybody that attends. We will not do our team walk prior to the game, which we normally do. We will not do our tailgate town, which we normally do before the game for the fans. We will not have bands or cheerleaders on the field or at the game. The bubble or the box, I guess I should say, will probably go from the 15-yard line to the 15-yard line. We will probably do a Zoom press conference after the game. So those are some of the things that we're modeling already. We may go clear bag or no bag into the facility. So the prime focus and the number one goal is to make this event as safe as possible for the players on the field and their staffs, as well as for the media and the fans that attend. So anybody that walks in Mercedes-Benz Stadium, we can have as safe an environment as we can.
Gary, appreciate you giving us time.
Thanks,
man. I know
you,
Gary, got your hands full with all this stuff going on. So best of luck with it. And I speak, I think, for everybody when I say, man, I really hope we see
yes,
we see some football Labor Day weekend here in Atlanta.
Thanks,
well,
Gary.
I hope we can visit at the end of July and that we have three games that we can put on and we can talk college football then.
We will.
Sounds
Don't
great.
Worry then. Thanks a lot, man. Stay safe, Gary.
All right, thanks, guys.
All right, coming up next, it will be time for What's Bugging Chuckery. We will get to all of that. This is the John Chuckery Show with you here live. Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on the radio.com app. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Welcome back into the John Chuckery Show. Hanging out with you on this Friday night, SmackDown Friday. Watching a little SmackDown as the women get at, women's tag team champs. I've said before, Bayley, she's an excellent performer. I mean, Sasha Banks is really kind of taken off in these last couple months. If you look at performers who have really kind of, I think, risen in the pandemic era, you know, the no fans kind of era, Sasha Banks is definitely one of them. She's really kind of stepped her game up, and she's really kind of become one of the top women's performers in the company. She already was, I mean, but still, I think she's really kind of elevated herself through all of this. 404-741-0929, that is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Encourage you to leave a comment there. Also, social media is at 929 The Game. I'm at JMCH316. And, of course, we ask you to download the Radio.com app that we can always catch us on the go. We'll do rank 'em a little bit later on tonight to end the show. Dylan is in the house producing for Jarvis this season. So he will be asking some questions, and we'll get your questions, or I should say we your lists as well on the text line and on our Twitter pages as well. Also, too, going to talk to Amy Dash a little bit later on this evening. That'll come up at 10:20 on the program. We had her on a few weeks ago when the DeAndre Baker story had broken, and you know, there's been more news since then, a lot of craziness. You know, I know, was it today or yesterday, that DeAndre Baker's attorney came out and wagged his finger and said, my client's innocent, and he maintains his innocence, and this, that, and the other. As there's reports of... You know, the two guys paid off the four people before their grand jury testimony or whatever it was. I mean, just a lot of craziness, you know, in there. And, man, DeAndre Baker, you know, he may not be in the NFL a whole lot longer if some of this stuff, you know, ends up being true. I mean, maybe not forever, but it's sounding like the Giants are willing to just kind of walk away, and it sounds like the Giants are willing to move on from DeAndre Baker. So, very unfortunate circumstance, a lot of craziness surrounding it, so we will talk with her coming up a little bit later on in the show as well. As we get ready for, we've got Atlanta United action coming up next week, so next Tuesday will be the first time we haven't been on air since, I guess, what, about March 11th or something like that during the week. It'll be the first, so it'll be a little bit different. Not going to lie, you know, I mean, could use a night off here and there. We've been going at it pretty hard, and, you know, Daddy works a full-time job during the day, too, so it's not like I'm not getting my work in or anything like that, but Atlanta United comes back to you next Tuesday night as they take on Columbus. And what will be, you know, obviously they're not going to advance in the tournament. I don't know that a win or tie even really gets them anywhere. I didn't see the latest with Mike Conley had said. I didn't see the results of some of the other matches that were kind of determined, but I think at the same time, you know, we kind of know where Atlanta United is at with this particular tournament. So I certainly just want them to play much better. I mean, they didn't play really bad against the New York Red Bulls. I mean, they were in that match, and that was a pretty good match, and, you know, just couldn't capitalize on some opportunities that they had. Cincinnati, you know, with all due respect, I mean, I know they had the red cards, but still, Cincinnati. They're not very good. And we get ready for the Braves as coming up here, you know, what, about a week, we're about a week or so away from opening day. That's going to feel really weird. You know, the Braves, by the way, they'll be up in Gotham to take on the Mets. That's going to have a weird feel for it. And I've said, I don't like the pumped-in crowd noise. Let me hear just the natural call of the game and the sounds of the game and, you know, let me hear the interaction and, you know, I don't need the Zoom and the crowd, and I don't need all that stuff. I can focus in on watching a baseball game, you know, without all that background, just to make it feel and sound like that it's real and legitimate and all this kind of stuff. I don't need all the extra stuff to go along with it to convince me that, oh, hey, this is just like normal. I mean, you hear fans and hear the fans, and then you look and there's like zero people sitting in the stands. Oh, okay. Yeah, that doesn't seem real. At least they had 30,000 fans at Bristol the other night. So, you know, again, these leagues are going to try to get back to some kind of fandom as soon as they can. But for right now, you can't do it. You got to err on the side of caution for it. All right, speaking of making plenty of errors, let's get to something we call What's Bugging Chuckery.
Don't look now, but somebody out there just got Chuckery ticked off. Like, that's hard.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
It's time for What's Bugging Chuckery on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
So, you know, as this Washington Redskins story starts to mold and shape and take form, and, you know, I said last night when we were talking about this, I don't know what to believe. The only real reason I probably believe some of the things that happened is because it would be impossible to sit down and write a fictional story that was like this. You know, you can't even, there's not even enough creative-minded people. Like, this isn't even something Vince Russo could have come up with in his heyday. Some of the stuff with Gruden and all that kind of stuff. Now, Dallas Mavericks owner Mark Cuban, of course, remember, 2018, when they had a lot of issues going on, you know, women that were being, you know, sexually assaulted and inappropriate behavior and things like that. He was on his Ask Me Anything with Mark Cuban. I guess that's his radio show on Sirius XM. And was talking about, you know, what he went through as an owner and all this kind of stuff, what Daniel Snyder is going through. And he said, this, by the way, it was Sports Illustrated that put the reports out about the Dallas Mavericks. He said, if you know Dan Snyder, if you're involved with the Redskins, if you connect to them, tell Dan and tell his senior management, you've got to just recognize what you did right and what you did wrong. You have to accept the mistakes you made. That's painful. I made a lot of mistakes, and that's the only way this thing is going to get resolved. Says the reality is, Mark Cuban talking, the Dallas Mavericks in 2018 went through the exact same thing. Did they really? Because this has gone beyond just 15 women were, you know, assaulted or inappropriate behavior toward them. You know, the Gruden stuff and some of the other things that are alleged. I don't know, again, what's true, what's not true. Okay? And now there's talk about the NFL may just fine Dan Snyder. Again, are we taking any of this serious? Now, if you tell me the fine is $2 billion, which means that he probably has to sell the team, then okay, that's maybe an acceptable fine. But this whole thing is so crazy. With all due respect to Mark Cuban, this is not simply just, well, you got to own up to what you did, huh? How about the entire organization and the culture? You think that kind of stuff just changes on a dime? Has Dan Snyder done anything in his tenure as a Redskins owner to tell you that he's contrite? About anything? You know, it's 1,000% obvious this name change is nothing about doing the right thing. This is CYA. What did Colonel Jessup say in A Few Good Men? Or not Colonel Jessup, it was the, not Kendrick, who was the guy that was like second in charge to him? That said, you don't get to that position without knowing how to sidestep a few landmines. Yeah. But this goes beyond just some women, you know, were sexually harassed in the workplace. There's way more meat on the bone with all of this. The entire culture of the franchise. You think that just automatically stops because they hire some attorney or some PR rep to come in and kind of overhaul things? And like I said, you know, with all due respect, I mean, I'll give Mark Cuban credit. He's a little bit more of a normal guy. When has Dan Snyder ever been contrite about anything? When has he ever been apologetic about anything? Anything. When has he ever not thumbed his nose at everybody, stuck his middle finger out? When is he not giving the Stone Cold salute, kick to the stomach, stunner? When? When has he been the good guy in these scenarios? Ever? You know, I'll give at least Mark Cuban credit. You know, he's sort of a kind of down-to-earth guy, and, you know, you can kind of buy into Mark Cuban. You buying into Dan Snyder? You think Dan Snyder sees the error of his ways? Or did he get caught with his pants down? Literally. What, you know, I said before, I never thought in my lifetime, really, I guess, maybe for as long as Dan Snyder owned the Washington Redskins, that this name change would happen. Now, it's painfully obvious why it happened. It didn't happen for any, with all due respect, of the right reasons. Now, people will say, well, listen, at least it changed. Okay. Is that really how you get change? Is people have to suffer. The culture of the franchise has to be a disaster. You have to have complete and utter debauchery. Is that the only way we get the change? Is because of that? The lowest of the low behavior has to happen to try to force change out of a guy? Again, when has Daniel Snyder ever been contrite about anything? When's he ever been apologetic? And by the way, I have a feeling Dan's going to try to ride this thing out with the Redskin name as long as he can before trying to make a decision on changing anything up. I just have this feeling. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he's a repentant man now. Maybe he's seen the error of his ways and decided to change things up. He's seen the light after all these, what, decades? It's a whole new ball game now. Okay. Much like I said when the Redskins name was going to change, I'll believe it when it actually happens. Okay. I'll believe the culture change around Dan Snyder when it actually happens. Not window dressing, not saying, and you know, the right things, not hiring the right PR firm or the right internal attorney or whatever. Show me really tangible results that makes a difference, and then we can talk. And that's what's bugging Chuck Reed. 404-741-0929. That, of course, is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line if you want to be a part of the show. Can hit me up on Twitter as well, at JMCH316. Hanging out with you on this Friday night on Sports Radio 92.9. The game is we put another week in the books for all of it. A week where we got to finally see, you know, we're seeing more of our, you know, actually one of our local teams and getting a chance to watch at least some Atlanta United and see what happens, albeit not the results that we want, but, you know, at least between Saturday and, you know, between what, Wednesday, you know, we're at least getting a chance to see one of our teams in action. And of course, the Braves very quickly. By the way, too, did you see the Hawks unveiled their new uniform? It's kind of what, an homage to Dominique Wilkins coming up for next year. Looks pretty sweet. It's better than that Volt. What is it, the Volt Green or whatever? Yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm not as, you know, progressive and upfront with the Volt Green. So anyway, pretty cool looking new uniforms though for all of it. All right, when we get back from the top of the hour, it will be time for our Falcons flyover. It is your nightly look at all news Atlanta Falcons. This is the John Chuckwer Show. We're hanging out with you on this SmackDown Friday, Sports Radio Nights on the Game and on your radio.com app.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.